Veronica, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's time to talk television with one of our favorite television critics, Maureen Ryan, TV critic for Variety. Mo, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Excellent. Couldn't be better.
Long time no talk. How's everything going on the boob tube?
It's great. I have a new job now, and I totally love it. I'm still living in Chicago, though, so I just sort of do my job from home, hiding out in my little suburban bunker here. So, yeah, everything's great.
Everyone always thinks that that job would be one of the cushiest fun jobs in the world, and I'm sure it has its moments, but you have to log a lot of hours. Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah, and just as a stats thing, like just so people can wrap their head around the numbers. So I've been a critic now for, I don't know, going on 15 years, and just in the last 6 or 7 years, the amount of scripted TV, primetime scripted TV, has doubled. And there are now, reputable reports, more than 400 scripted shows. And again, that's just scripted. That's just primetime. That's just Netflix. Like, that's just the whole gamut of things that, you know, people might watch. So when I started out in the game, it was maybe, I don't even know if it was 100. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been a
wow.
lot. So, yeah, it's a lot of late nights, but
I can imagine.
It's pretty fun. But, yeah, there's a lot more to it. I wish I was just sitting on my couch eating bonbons and flipping around and watching whatever I wanted, but that is not, unfortunately, the case.
That would be better sometimes. All right, let's talk a little bit about what we saw in Cleveland the last couple of nights with the Republican National Convention. Is this a big ratings getter this time around, or were people staying away? What were the numbers looking like?
It's interesting. It's not a slam dunk hit. I wouldn't call it that. But I think it was sort of one of those can't tear yourself away experiences for a good number of people. I mean, obviously they pick a good time to do it. It's the summer. There's not that much. I mean, we were just talking about how much scripted TV there is, but in terms of fresh episodes of scripted TV, there's not really that much unless you're dipping into your Netflix or Amazon shows. So it did fine. You know, I'm interested to see how well last night's speech did, because I don't know about you, and I am not going to make any political pronouncements, because I just, my brain, I think, already is so tired from this week.
Sure.
But it was just so long. It was so long. Like, I don't care what your persuasion is. Oh, my gosh. By the end, I was just like, have I been watching the speech for, like, 2 days? What is that?
I know. But, Mo, it had all the elements, and I know we're now a society that embraces reality television. A lot of what we saw over the last couple of days, and I guess you could argue and say the last couple of months, have had a lot of the same elements as reality TV, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what I felt like this whole convention this week was. You had, like, Melania Trump came out and gave a speech, and then it was revealed that parts of it came from a speech by Michelle Obama, and that was like so that's night one of your drama. There's a huge like amount of hand wringing and chaos, and then every night there was something else. There was kind of these apocalyptic speeches on Tuesday, ramping everyone up, and then on Wednesday, I was sitting there watching as Ted Cruz gave his speech, and it was kind of like. In a reality show, that person who comes back and is in it just for the drama and is like stirring the pot, like he
Omarosa.
Yeah, exactly.
He was Omarosa.
Well, I was thinking back even further, if any of your listeners remember, but Sue Hawk from the first season of Survivor, it was like the night of the tribal council, and she just basically laid into the guy who eventually went on to win.
But it was just, I remember
kind of
that
moment. Yeah. Right. It was like, it was just so like, is this really happening right now? It was just kind of one of those like reality TV moments that you always think about. So I feel like it was a chaotic week. I don't feel like it was structured necessarily to be as, like, I don't think they planned for a lot of this, put it that way.
Yeah.
But it ended up being this kind of, you know, reality show that you couldn't look away from for me.
And I'll tell you what, Donald Trump may, in fact, be our next president. I realize that. But if he does lose, he's got a docudrama. He's got anything he needs to make a reality show out of this whole campaign. So he wins either way.
Absolutely. And I mean, people have talked about before even this week that maybe his end game is establishing his own TV network. I mean, that's not beyond the bounds of possibility. And I'm sure there are many people who have that kind of power and resources in the media who would give that to him because, I mean, if you think about it, he's well known. He's got recognizability. You know, like if he loses, and wants to go that route, I don't doubt that that could happen.
Mo Ryan is our guest, TV critic for Variety. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more television. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. Our guest is Mo Ryan, television critic for Variety. Does a great job reporting on TV. Mo, explain this to me. There's an actor that most people might not know his name, but if you saw the guy, you would know him. His name is Peter McNichol. He's been on Ally McBeal and CSI, and he was in 24 and Sophie's Choice. He's been around for a long, long time. So when they announced the Emmy nominations a little over a week ago, he was up for an Emmy Award, and then they just decided the other day, no, he's not. There's some weird technicality. He's not up for an Emmy Award. What happened there?
Yeah, so there are rules about the Emmys in terms of what season is eligible, how many episodes can air during a certain period of time is to make that season eligible. Say, you know, if only two episodes of Game of Thrones aired during that period, like, it wouldn't have been eligible. So there are rules about that that also affects whether someone is considered a guest actor or a regular actor on the show. So it's the funniest thing, but it's 11 seconds that disqualified Peter McNichol from his guest actor Emmy nomination, because if you're in more than five episodes of a particular season, you cannot, you're considered, you know, you would be considered in a different category, not guest actor, but, you know, supporting actor. So there was a sixth episode he was in for 11 seconds, and that disqualified him. But, you know, so that was sad. That was not great for him and his week. But another actor who's really great, Peter Scolari, who you might remember, now I'm really going to date myself, from Bosom Buddies.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Many other
I just
things.
Patted my breast as you were about to say Bosom Buddies.
Which Wendy does anyway during the show, so I'm used to it. But
so, of course.
That's why you've requested to work with me.
Yes, that's the reason. That's the main reason. But he's in.
From Peter to Peter.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Do they save name on the plaque? They only have to change the last name?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. They're going to save on costs big time.
Who discovered that Peter McNichol was on the show for 11 too many seconds? Like, there must have been somebody appealing his nominee.
Peter Scolari.
Was it Scolari?
I think it was another critic who pointed it out. And it's someone who covers TV. And so he actually felt really bad about it, but, you know, there is the upside of Peter Scolari having a good Friday, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't seem fair that it was already announced, you know? It was announced
right.
And then they took it away?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
Did Steve Harvey announce it?
Yes. So he's having a bad streak. Let him go. He's fine.
It's not a good day.
So many people are talking about this show on Netflix called Stranger Things. I've not seen it yet, but several of my friends have seen it, and they all say the same thing. You got to see it. Is it worth it? Is it as good as everyone's saying it is?
Yeah. And I mean, I think if you knew what Bosom Buddies was, then you definitely are the right age range for this show. Although I think you don't have to be, you know, like our generation, but it's very much like if you grew up reading Stephen King novels and watching Steven Spielberg and kind of, you know, watching things like Freaks, everything from Stand By Me to Freaks and Geeks. It has all of those different flavors. And plus, on top of all that, it has Winona Ryder. So it's like, it's basically purpose made for me, it felt like. But I think it's more widely appealing in that, you know, like the X-Files came back, and that was actually really popular when it returned, even amongst people who had never seen the original or maybe checked it out through Netflix or whatever. Because I think Stranger Things really draws upon that vibe of the X-Files or Stand By Me or Stephen King novels, in that it's really about the characters and their friendships and their fights and their love or dislike for each other, things like that. It's really about their fears and all that kind of, like, that's what Spielberg did so very well with E.T., and I think that's kind of a template for this show, but it's eight episodes, which I think, again, like, that's really good. The great thing about the TV era we're living in now is that a TV season doesn't have to be 22 episodes. You know, that's great. If you want to see 22 Law and Orders, I would sit down tomorrow and watch all, like, a whole season of that show in a row, because it's so, you know, it's very pleasing that way. But this show doesn't have to be that. And so it takes you on this kind of supernatural, spooky trip for eight episodes, and then it's done. And they have not announced a second season, but I'm really hoping there is one, because I think it's really difficult to capture. It's basically set in a small town in Indiana, And it captures that vibe really well without going overboard on the period detail of being set in the 80s. So it captures that mood and the feeling and that kind of scary sense of paranoia kind of pricking along the back of your neck. So from all those counts, I think it succeeds, you know, pretty well, and kind of came along as a sleeper of the summer. You know, not, it wasn't really hyped that much, but it's worth checking out.
And again, that show, it's called Stranger Things, and you can see it on Netflix.
And what I love about Netflix, and Bill, you can attest to this, I had not watched Orange is the New Black, and I'm caught up, and I did that in 2 weeks, I think. I
watched all four seasons in 2 weeks. Wow.
I love it. And another Netflix show that I loved and lived for, going from a small town in Indiana with Stranger Things to a small town in Wisconsin, and on Monday, Netflix announced that Making a Murderer featuring Stephen Avery, there were going to be some new episodes. So when can we look forward to that?
I don't think this year. I don't think they gave a specific timetable. I know, right? That would have been so great. But, it, I mean, that's one of the things that made the first season so great. It was so obvious that they had spent just weeks and months and years on the ground, like right at the scene and talking to people and just kind of being a fly on the wall, but then editing that down, which is a really huge job when they have this much material. They really edited all that information and those moments down to something that felt really dramatic and gripping. So I'm hoping they come back. I'm interested to see. They have not announced how many episodes, because really the time frame they covered in the first season of that was quite a few years. You know, it was decades. So I don't know if this will go more granular, like in maybe there's only six episodes covering like 2 years. I'm not really sure how it will work, but I'm hoping it's one of those things, and I don't know if you guys agree. I think it's a little bit scary to sort of wonder, will they be able to recapture that magic? And I will actually throw out another recommendation for you. There's a series, if you loved Making a Murderer, there's a series that has aired on Sundance TV. I'm sure it's on, iTunes and things like that. It might be on demand. It's called The Staircase, and it's 8 parts. It's a crime miniseries, and it's, I think, even better than Making a Murderer.
Wow.
Is it real or is it fiction?
It's real. It's totally real.
I gotta watch it.
But that's a show that came back with a return season several years later, and it wasn't that it was bad, but it wasn't quite as good as the first one. But if you like The Jinx or Making a Murderer, try to check out The Staircase. It's the same thing.
And what's the network that runs The Staircase, Mo?
Sundance TV.
Sundance.
I'm not sure if it has been on their website at different times, you know, for free to stream. I don't know if it's available on the streaming services or on some other on-demand thing, but it's worth looking around for if you're into that kind of thing.
Mo, we don't have time to discuss this in great detail, but I'm just curious. There's been a lot of talk lately that Stephen Colbert's show may switch places with James Corden's show over on CBS. That's not possible, is it? That's not going to happen.
I really don't think so, especially since, I don't know if you watched Colbert at all this week.
I did.
I mean, last night he had Jon Stewart come back. And I actually wrote a piece even before Stewart came back saying that, you know, Colbert, I thought, had been on fire this week.
Yeah.
I think if nothing else, there's a lot of politics that go into these things, obviously, speaking of a very political week. But in terms of a company politics sense, it would just send a very bad message to their talent that, you know, we're going to take this person and swap them for a different person. I mean, if you were to tell me, hey, you know what, maybe they're going to make Carpool Karaoke into a primetime special once a month, I would believe that. Like, that certainly seems like something reasonable. I'm sure that in large part because of Carpool Karaoke, and he's just generally done well on the job, I think there are big things ahead for James Corden. I don't think a swap is advisable just in terms of the stability of their CBS's brand. They're very much a network that's about stability and keeping things, their shows run for a long time. They're not like sort of NBC 5 or 6 years ago when it was just basically a dumpster fire and they were just throwing everything up into a crazy, chaos every other week. And there was all that drama with Jay Leno and Conan and stuff like that. CBS is so not like that. They have a complete dislike of drama like that. So I think I'm interested to see. I think Colbert, hopefully he can build on this good week that he's had and kind of get himself back out there. His ratings have been very strong. So I think that this could be a building moment for him going forward.
Good. I like him a lot. Mo, it's always fun to talk to you. We really appreciate your time. Mo Ryan, again, TV critic for Variety. Read her there. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
Take care.
Thanks, Mo.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll get some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.